All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Father, for the life that you give, Father. We just ask you to help us, Father, to be faithful to you. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom. Again, Lord, we just thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I want to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Begin in verse 35. Just was thinking this morning, you know, as we were singing and the boys' lesson, that song was saying, "Great is thy faithfulness." And the boys' lesson was God's part in salvation and our part. And God's part is just being faithful, because he's faithful to who he is. That makes him faithful to everyone around him, to everyone. His reaching out to someone is because of who he is. His faithfulness, his love, he doesn't have to think about what he's going to say about love. It's who he is. And that part that when Jesus said, "I am that I am," you know, that is... A Christian is a reflection of God. They're not putting on a show. They are who they are. And we don't have to, you know, a lot of times when we have to speak or something, we don't go study some subject so that we can talk about it. What we have to talk about, the message of preaching or the message of what we have to share with each other, is what we are, or what who we've met and how we're our reflection of him. You know, if we have to study and study and study to have something to say about God, don't say anything, because we have nothing to say about him, because all of our study and all of our trying to find something about God. If we don't have something, a message to talk about Jesus, or a message to talk about God, shut up. You don't have any business talking about him. And I think that's where a lot of religion comes in. That's we have to go study about right doctrines. We have to go figure out all these things. Instead of being a reflection of who he is to the world. That's what it means. You know, Roger, I think, talked about Jesus whenever he read the story in John about the shepherd that had 99 sheep and he lost one. And what did he do? He went out looking for that one that was lost. Great is thy faithfulness. He was just being faithful and true to himself by going out and looking for that one that was lost. That was his nature, to risk to go out and find that which was lost. That was just the natural thing to do, because it was his character that was producing those things. We don't have to, I've just got to be more this or more that. Be that. Our God was the great I am, the I am, because it's who he was. Our call is to be. We're not the all in all of the I am, but we are to be a reflection of that I am. And it's who we are. A Christian is not a Christian because he says a prayer and thinks that Jesus has forgiven him or believes that Jesus has forgiven. He is a Christian because he has actually become a new creature. He's born again. Not just born again to be a so he can go to heaven. He's born again because there's a little spark of that eternal I am has come to dwell in his life and in his heart. And now he's a reflection of that thing. And that's why, like I said, if we have to study and try to figure out who God is before I can talk to anybody about it, there's usually something missing. Our testimony of God is to tell what God has done for us. To tell what he's done, that we can reflect what he's done. That's why it's so important, you know, we talk about forgiveness and mercy. The reason a person can show mercy is because he's tasted mercy. The reason a person can forgive is because he knows what it is to be forgiven. And we don't have to study a bunch to understand that. Whenever we know that we're forgiven, that spark begins in our heart. We can turn around and give that to somebody else. Matthew chapter 9, just a little about this, verse 35. It says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. You know, whenever we look at Jesus here, the Bible tells us to go and just like in John, he was out looking for the lost. You know, there's a lot of commotion in the world. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. But he was looking for the lost. You know, in our lives, it's so easy for us to get sidetracked to just bring in some more people or go out and just preach. But the purpose and the heart and the goal of the preaching is to be looking for that person that needs help. You know, a lot of times we're out searching and looking for all over, and we're just looking far and wide, and sometimes the person that we can help is right there in front of us that's actually looking, needing help. That goes back to that faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Just being what we're supposed to be right where we are. And on the way, we look out and we see, you know, we're looking for someone that needs help. And it's pretty easy to get sidetracked by finding someone we think we can help and just try to fix somebody else's problems. But that person we can actually help, oftentimes they're not looking. Read on here just a minute. He went teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, that's our message. The kingdom of God has come. And we have the teachings and all the things that it talks about. And those things are to show us where we're erring from that kingdom so that we can see God and see his heart and turn to that kingdom. So that we can taste of it. You know, a lot of people have the idea that the kingdom of God is somewhere off, you know, streets of gold and all of that. That's heaven. The kingdom of God is now. And it's on this earth right now. This is the kingdom. You know, it's kind of hard to see that because we see religion and we see churches. And that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is in people who have tasted what God has given and can now reflect that to others and love each other and work with each other. It's not a religion. It's not a denomination. The kingdom of God is just as real as God Himself is, because it is a reflection of God Himself on this earth. That's what Jesus came to do. That's why He said, you know, I send you out. And He said, what I do, you'll do many more times than this. He was just one man. And when the disciples become a part of Him and are reflecting what He has to offer, they become many, much more, and they can do much more. He was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. What is the message of the kingdom? That is that you and I can be partakers of this heavenly kingdom, this heavenly position, this reflection of God Himself on this earth. That's what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Until Christ came, that couldn't be, because men were in bondage to Satan. But when Jesus came and set them free, the kingdom of God is now among us. And we can be a part of it because we are being a reflection of who He is. He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. That's what He can do. Whatever afflicts us, whatever binds us, whatever, we can be healed from it. Then He said, seeing the people, He felt compassion for them. This is one of the things I want to talk about a little bit. Compassion. Compassion versus pity. There is a difference. Pity is feeling sorry for somebody and they're maybe in their situation, and so we just try to fix their situation. But compassion is actually doing what the person needs in that situation. Seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. You know, I think of that, the pity and compassion, the differences, is like looking for someone. You know, we see these people that hold up signs on the street and say they're homeless or they're this or they're that, and we've tried to help them, and they don't want help. All they want is pity. They want pity so that you'll reach into your pocket and give them some help. And they're using that to apply to your pity so you'll feel like you'll help them. Compassion. Yeah, we would love to help them. But as long as most of them are out there just doing that same old thing, it's not helping them, just throwing some more money at them so that they can go do their drugs or whatever they want to do with it. But feeling compassion for them is looking past the one sometimes you see right away and looking past there to someone that's not out there on the street. Hannah. Be still. Okay. It's looking past that one that's out there holding up their sign or whatever, trying to apply to your pity and looking. You know, we get distracted by them sometimes because they're in your face. And there's someone along the edge there or beside or someone somewhere else that's needing help, and we overlook them because our pity has moved us somewhere where it doesn't need to be. But to have compassion on someone is to find someone that is lost and needs help. They're without direction. And to look for those. You know, know, there's a lot of people to help, and a lot of times we just have a hard time finding them because we just don't see them. There's so many different distractions, and we just don't see them. But Jesus was moved with compassion. That's what we need to check ourselves. A lot of times, it's like a mother that's often moved with pity for her child or a father. And instead of actually doing what the child needs, the correction, the discipline, the time, they have pity on them and just give them something to quiet them, to make them feel better. That usually winds up making the child learn how to manipulate the parents so that they can get whatever they want. Which if you carry that out a few years, when they get a little older, it's like them holding on a sign, knowing how to manipulate your pity so you'll reach in your pocket and give them something. They learn how to manipulate. And that's not compassion. That's a bad thing. Because then we manipulate each other, and then we begin to think we can manipulate God. And that's the heart of a lot of religion that says that if I just ask God for something, He'll give it to me. And all we're trying to do is actually manipulate Him so that we can get what we want. But compassion goes past that. Compassion takes the time and the effort to pay attention. And we can start that, like I said, at home with our children. Take the time to pay attention to how to work with them. And it takes time and it takes effort. There is a time when they need spanking, they need discipline. But the most of that comes from because you haven't taken the time to know who they are and to see their problems and to have the patience to work. You know, if we want to teach them something, a lot of times, you know, we're trying to teach them to do something and they start doing it and they fumble around and mess it up two or three times, and finally we just say, well, get back. I'll just do it myself. We've just missed. We were too busy to take the time to actually do what needs to be done there. It just takes time, patience, and to know that it's that being able to see the real need in front of us instead of just being moved with a little pity that doesn't produce anything very good. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. You see, that compassion, it brings in a faithfulness or a devotion that we have to apply. A devotion to the people we're helping. Of being able to see what they need and then being able to devote yourself to it and stay with them. He saw that they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest that He may send out workers into His harvest. You know, it's not just always going out and being the preacher. It's being the seer, to be able to see who needs help, to be able to see who to have compassion on. Well, a lot of times we're so distracted by the pity that we miss the compassion. He came looking for the lost sheep. That's what we, that's our duty, is to be looking for the lost, looking for needs. You know, you drive down the road and you see people all over the place, you know, and then all of a sudden, if you're watching, you'll see somebody that just needs something. And we can train ourselves to do that, just to look for that need. When Jesus went out into the world and he sends us into the world, he came into the world to be a man, to live among them, to teach them about the kingdom, to heal and help who he could, being a reflection of God. And when he sends us out into the world, that's all he sends us out to do, is to be the same. May the Lord add his blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here this evening, 6 o'clock. God bless you all. Depart in peace.
Sickness.